Hey, how's it going? I'm Andy Jones, and this is episode 154 of the Photography Side Hustle Podcast. Okay, last week I mentioned that this episode was going to be an interview, but I'm putting that off till next week. This week, I'm going to introduce you to three photographers I think you should check out. One shoots pets. Let's rephrase that. Didn't sound right. Okay, one photographs pets. One is a wedding photographer and the other is a landscape photographer. Now, two of them maximize what they make from their business. The one in the middle, the wedding photographer, doesn't. And I'm going to tell you why. I'll put the links to their websites in the show notes and over at photographysidehustle.com/154. Now, my intention in discussing these photographers is not to showcase their work and rave on about them too much, although they're all excellent. But it's more to inspire you to think creatively and push the boundaries of your own photography and especially your earning potential, how to maximize it. So the first photographer I'm going to mention is Kat Race. Now, Kat is a photographer in Preston in the UK, and she's the owner of Kat's Dog Photography. For years, she's been shooting on location outdoors, but just over the winter, she's got back into shooting in the studio again. Her work has been published in so many magazines, and I'm sure she's done a lot of commercial work on top of that. She is currently the British Pet Photographer of the Year, and her business makes money from selling prints, not digital files. Now, people look at her work and they just want a piece of wall art, and they're willing to pay good money for it. I know that she also does a few workshops, and if anyone should put a course or have a membership, it's Kat. I will be the first one to sign up. So have a look at her work, check out the angles that she shoots from, and then instead of a dog in the photo, imagine a child or even a come back a little bit and it's a family in the photo. How good would those images be? If you could produce portraits of humans composed and edited the way that Kat Race does with her dog portraits, you would be unstoppable. So again, look at her photos and see how low she gets and how deep the depth of field is in the majority of them. Now check out her website. It's catsdog.co.uk. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's catsdog.co.uk. Okay, the second photographer I want you to check out is Emin Kuliev. He's a New York City wedding photographer, and his work is just incredible. Check out his website. It's a very easy one, this. EM34.com. EM34.com. If you're thinking about it, or if you're already shooting weddings, you need to look at his portfolio. It's a huge portfolio, and the quality is unbelievable. I first came across his work over 15 years ago now, and his style is photojournalism, and he documents the day, but he also adds beautifully posed portraits. There are no photos of a family group in a straight line in front of some trees. He does shoot large groups on the streets of New York, but you've got to see them to believe them. He gets up high and, oh, just incredible, just incredible. And his editing is just spotless. It's beautiful. Now, he's won multiple, I didn't count them, but it just went on and on and on, year after year after year, of awards he got for his wedding photography. He was listed in the top 10 of American wedding photographers at one point. So the guy's good. Now, you would think with all these awards and accolades that he would be charging crazy prices. But he charges $1,000 for the first hour and $500 for each additional hour. So an 8-hour wedding would cost $4,500, which sounds low for New York, but it is low for New York. Plus, he only offers digital files, which I find amazing. Now, this guy is leaving a massive amount of money on the table. Take a look at some of the weddings that he's shooting. They're all really expensive looking events, like hiring out a full restaurant, this kind of thing, just the money is flowing. And I think because of that, he could charge double what he's charging right now, and no one would blink an eye. Now, Emin is a, an incredibly skilled photographer, but he, in my opinion, he is an example of someone who has not maximized his income sources. Maybe the prices on his website are out of date. I doubt it. Or he wants to have a little bit more free time, which is fair enough. But still, he could be making so much more money selling prints to these people. It's crazy. Anyway, he takes photos that you can learn from. And if you can produce images half as good as Emin Kuliev, you will be very successful. And just make sure you max out your revenue sources. Check him out. Okay, next is the big one. Michael Shainbloom. Now, he's a Canadian landscape photographer, filmmaker, and educator based in San Francisco, California. He's been working professionally as a photographer and a filmmaker since he was 16. So this guy had it, got the bug early on. In Hollywood, an actor who can dance and sing is called a triple threat. Well, in photography, Michael Shainbloom is more than a triple threat. You can times that by two, probably. No, he probably can't dance or sing, but he makes money from multiple avenues of photography. I found him on YouTube. He has, I think it's 119,000 subscribers at the moment, which it should be more because he's just incredible. And he makes money from his ads that YouTube put on his videos. I don't know how much. I'm not really interested, but I know it's a money source for him. His videos are excellent, really well edited, just so nicely put together. And I never miss one. Every time he brings one out, I'm there watching it. And if you want to shoot landscapes that people will want to buy, then watch how Michael does it, because he shows you in every video how he does it and he talks you through it. His second source of income is selling prints, and his landscapes are absolutely stunning. They are as good as anyone's. They're amazing. And if you wondered what platform he's using for his galleries, it's SmugMug. It's nothing fancy, just a gallery where people can choose a photo and buy a print of it. He doesn't have to do anything apart from uploading images and pricing them. That's it. Okay, so that's two out of the way. His third one. He makes money from video tutorials. And if you want to know how he edits his images, he's going to show you in these videos. You've just got to cross his palm with silver. Now, if you watch his YouTube videos and you buy one of his tutorials or all of his tutorials, you'll know everything that Michael knows. I'm sure he holds back some little things, little nuggets, but it's all there for you if you want it. Now, his number four revenue source is workshops. Now, this isn't something anyone can do. Your work has to be up there with the very best, and his work definitely is. And I'm pretty sure any workshop he puts on will be fully booked. If you want a way to learn how the pros shoot, book a workshop and accelerate your progress. Doesn't matter which photographer, well, it does matter what photography you book with. It's worth the money flying out and doing one of these courses with one of these top guys. And Michael Shainbloom is one of the top ones. Money source number five is time-lapse and aerial photography. Now, this is probably aimed at commercial customers. His website has some amazing time-lapse videos. And the editing, it's just like a movie. It's incredible. Now, if you were to do this, you could make these time-lapse videos for local businesses, for small towns or cities in your area. Okay, number six is shooting stills and video for commercial clients. And his client list is a corporate who's who. Here are just a few of them. Apple, Google, Samsung, Jeep, BMW, National Geographic, Adobe, the good old BBC in Britain, Disney, Toyota, LG, Nike, Facebook, DJI, Mercedes, NBC, and Audi. And I think he did work for California and Oregon as well. So basically, Michael travels around the world doing workshops, and during the time before and after the workshops, he shoots landscapes, time-lapse videos, and YouTube videos. Now, I'm not saying you have to do the exact same thing as Michael, but I do think whatever you shoot, you should try every source of income available to you. And I'm sure if he needed the money, then he knew that he could sell some postcards in a local store, he would do it. He covers every, I'm sure there's some other things I've missed. He just seems to have everything covered. So if you shoot family portraits, from now on, when you look at landscapes, pet portraits, any photo that you really like, think about how you could use that kind of setting to your advantage. Just because it's a photo of a dog, think what it would look like if it was one of your customer's kids in that photo, or the customer themselves. Just because a photo is in a different genre to yours, don't dismiss it. Consider how you could incorporate that composition into your genre. There are a lot of photographers out there all trying to get customers. Keep working on improving your photos and maximize how and where you can sell your work. Okay, that's all I've got for this episode. I'll put the links to all of the photographers mentioned in the show notes and over at photographysidehustle.com/154. And if you need help with anything, you can find me in the Facebook group. Have a great week. Talk to you soon. Bye.